ik neem niet een agent, officiële agent, by God doing on one and to observe a moment of meditation at place, so that we can get the direction from the Almighty before we start our work, little fighting. Can we observe? Thank you. Let me also welcome you again and in our meeting, especially the department that has joined us. But before we do that, because this is our first meeting, I think it will be appropriate that we introduce ourselves so that we can put a name on the face when we speak and we know who is who. Besides myself, my name is Kathy Lamini, the chairperson of the Select Committee Social Services, of which part of it is human settlement. Then I will move to the direction. I'm the next one, a member of the Select Committee.
Thanks, sir. My name is Ndomote Kaula, member of the committee.
Good morning, my name is Manana Kaki, member of the school.
Good morning, my name is Cindy Wesley. I'm coming to go to member of the committee.
Javier Lumpur, TK, whip of the committee.
Good morning, my name is Hans Stok. I'm also a member of the committee. Thanks.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Herman Groenewald, member of the committee and representing the Northwest Province.
Good morning, colleagues. My name is Tamil Campbell Sukwana. I'm a member of the Select Committee.
Good morning, I'm Leanne Hayes, member of the Select Committee, Harding, DFS.
Okay. Can we proceed then?
Good morning, my name is Kofi from the Department of Human Settlement, State of the
Good morning, everybody. My name is Nidhi Lekaba, looking to the director of the department.
Chairperson, members of the committee, my name is Anton Olser, and you will take a good standing in the National Department.
Good morning, Chair. The committee, my name is William Chian.
Good morning, Chairperson, honored members. My name is Lucille Longo. I work for the Department of Human Settlement as the CEO.
Good morning, Chairperson, honored members. My name is Muriel Chan, I'm the Deputy Director General in the Department of Human Settlement.
Good morning, Chairperson. My name is Nyame Kukumbe. I'm the Acting CFO in the Department of Human Settlement.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Mara Williams, and I'm the Committee Secretary for the Select Committee on Social Services.
Hi, I'm
Alexandra Aiken.
I'm in the Deputy Director of the Office.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning,
Molo.
Good morning, Chairperson. I'm Honorable
Good morning, I'm Yepo Sol, the Chair for the Buffalo Committee of the Day.
Good morning, I'm Sean Whiting, I'm the Executive for the team.
Good morning, everyone. Small thanks, CMG.
Thank you very much. Let me know each other now, but I must just say that this is one of the most important departments that we have. Government. If you look at the issues raised by the people in terms of charity, it is one of the top 5 departments in terms of human settlements. So we're taking this to happen in the first, the last conflict related to the lives of the people that we're serving. I want to start off by saying, as a request, okay, before I go to the request, I've got two apologies. One apology is from the minister, who is having some commitment, and the other one from the DD of the department. There was an earlier request that we reschedule the meeting because of the government, which was not possible for us as a coach to do that, even on that very tight schedule. But one was hoping that at least Deputy Minister would be here. I don't know whether it's because some of you are not indicating the protocol. Is the Deputy Minister here?
The Deputy Minister is not here, Chair. There are people from the Deputy Minister's office. The PLO is here, and there are two other officials from the office. The Deputy Minister, together with the DG and the Minister, are preparing for the budget vote to be done at 2 o'clock. But I'm sure someone from the Deputy office, the Deputy Minister's office can help us to let our Deputy Minister will join us on.
No, it's fine. We'll just convey our message to the Minister. We would have appreciated that at least one politician is here, because we are politicians. The other person coming from the office of the Minister or the Deputy Minister may not really help us, because we are politicians. We want to communicate to the politicians at our level. If that could be conveyed to the Minister, we got the communication from her office earlier, but one was expecting that the police deputy minister is here. The second matter that one would raise is the issue of receiving documents on time. We'll appreciate as a committee that we get documents on time so that members are able to interact with those documents. Reason being that we're not here to police what the department is doing, but we want to strengthen the work of the department. For us to do that, it's important that we have information. It was not working with the department on day-to-day, like you are doing. So we will appreciate that we take documents on time so that we could prepare ourselves. From now, moving forward, if we don't get documents on time, we're not going to have anything. I want to be clear from the beginning so that we don't meet each other as we proceed. One of the issues that I wanted to raise, that then I will allow the department to do a presentation, then later allow members to communicate or raise issues based on the presentation. But as said earlier, that we're not going to ask for something out of the head. There are three main issues that we're using. You know that you have the 5-year strategic plan, which is your guide, in line with the term of office of a given administration, in our case, this administration, the fifth government. We're also going to be focusing on MTEF, the medium-term expenditure framework, which is a mid-term plan of the department. Most importantly, your ATP, your annual performance, that is in line with your report, to see if you will be able to deliver on the issues that you want to do. But in most cases, from my experience or our experience, is that departments will come with plans and the proposed budget on things that they want to do. But only to find that at the end of the financial year, they are making excuses that we were not able to do ABCC because of shortage of staff, one of the things. Two, the school that we're dealing to and specimen today, availability of land. Things that you knew before you started planning. If your planning is not correct, there will be challenges in terms of implementation. What I'm raising is the issue of the state of readiness of the department when it proposes requests from Parliament of things that you want to do. But also what is critical for us as SLEC committee is beyond performance. We want to know what is happening in provinces. How are you performing in provinces? We know that there are a number of challenges and also there are a number of successes that you have done as a committee. What is happening? Where do you want us to assist as a committee? I said earlier that we are more to strengthen you than interrogating what you are doing. But the other additional point from our side is the collaboration with other departments as part of the criminal services department. Alone you cannot succeed, they need to collaborate with other departments. To what extent do you collaborate? We had a department of education in one committee which was talking about higher education accommodation, so challenges in terms of accommodation of students. What role do you play as a department in trying to assist other than using these private rental houses which are charging double what it is government? What is it that you can do with the department? So those are the things that we'll be looking at, and as you present, we'll be listening with that ear to see those things as coming up. I don't know who is presenting. If you want to come in before I hand over.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I just want to check, maybe some members have got what I'm seeing on screen, because I can't see the document that is shown on the screen that members are using. I don't know how are we going to follow their presentation. If they have the document, they might provide us with the document. I'm just talking something that is you, but I can't see us having the document that we're talking about. Thank you.
Okay, we don't have often enough time, but limited time. If we can give the department 30 minutes for presentation, then we will give members, so that you can give members ample time to interact with the presentation. I don't know who's presenting, that's where I was. Please take note of what I'm saying. The issue of time, and I don't want to deprive members. Take note that you've got 3 minutes. Members, you tell us that we have 30 minutes. If you exceed or exceed 30 minutes, you can leave it at that. Thank you.
I think we will use your 30 minutes very wisely. I think we will be able to deliver the presentation within 30 minutes so that we have enough time to engage with the judgment. I will kick start by introducing the presentation so that we are more structured in the manner we deliver this presentation. We've got the departmental strategic plan, which is a 5-year plan and approved by Cabinet in June 2014. And in that strategic plan is informed by quite a number of documents. It was concluded after the vigorous consultation with all the sector stakeholders, provinces, metropolitan municipalities, other departments, National Treasury. We had a series of engagements with all of our stakeholders in the sector before the document was signed as our strategic plan document. It's also safe to state that our minister didn't have adequate time to interrogate and engage with the document. In our presentation to the Portfolio Committee on Human Settlements a fortnight ago, we stated this point that the minister has seen the document and signed it. There were comments that the minister wanted to put forward. Those comments can always be accommodated during the adjustment period.
The document that I'm presenting to you is informed by a number of other documents. It is informed by the ruling party of the governing party manifesto. I think chapter 2 of that manifesto spells out clearly most of the strategic intent and in some cases the size that we have to achieve over the next 5 years. It is informed by that. It is also informed by the National Development Plan, and that is chapter 8 of the National Development Plan. It is very explicit about what is expected of human settlements as a sector, not just the departments. We also have the Mid-Term Strategic Framework, the MTSF, which has clear targets, clear outlines, clear outcomes that we need to achieve over the next 5 years. The outline of the presentation, our presentation, you will notice that it is divided into three components. The first component, it is the strategic plan. What are the critical issues that we have identified to achieve annually? This current financial year, what are we contracting to do as a department? And that strategy plan is very smooth about that, is very clear. Part two of the presentation is about the budget route. Let me go back. Part one of the presentation, my colleague, Mr. William G. and myself, we will share the division of work, division of labor that the two of us will present the part. We will also be assisted by colleagues, Mr. Anton Arendt, who is sitting over there, who is going to present the business planning part of it. Part two will be done by the acting CFO. This is about the budget rules. You will take us through all the grants that we are administering. Mr. Nyame Kombengo, sitting on my right, he will be taking us through part two. And part three, about the utilization of human settlement grants and alignment of plans to achieve the set delivery targets. All the major grants that are administering, the budget eradication grant in terms of sanitation, the rural household infrastructure grants, the human settlement development grants, the urban settlement development grant, all of those four grants, we will talk about issues of alignment there. And my colleague Anton Arendt will take us through that part as well. Without wasting time, I'm going to hand over to my colleague William Jian to take us through the mandate part of our presentation, the challenges, the vision, the mission, the results, the global priorities, and the MTSF action. So I'll ask William to run through this part so that we are able to deliver everything within 10 minutes. William, over to you.
Can I just check one thing?
Yeah.
I don't see anything about the APD and the performance plan.
What we have done, we in finalizing this exercise, what you needed to do is a complete alignment of the APP, the strategic plan, and the MTSF. So what we decided to do is to annualize the strategic plan. The APP is not going to the strategic plan, then you have a problem. So you will see the annual targets, which are coming directly from the APP in our presentation. So we thought the best way to demonstrate the alignment, because in some cases we do this in some cases they are done for compliance, for malicious compliance. So what we decided to do is to demonstrate a complete alignment between the MTSF, the strategic plan, and the APP, because the bulk of our APP deliverables are delivered in the process through the grant that we are administering, the 28 billion rand grant. So you will see the annual target, which emanates directly from the APP, and we don't separate the APP from the strategic plan. In fact, we refer to the APP as strategic plan year one, because that's where all of the targets for the APP should come from the strategic plan of year one. So that's how we have managed it, that's how we have presented it to all the other committees, so that is complete alignment.
Members, here we are. I don't know what you call this in terms of planning. Fortunately, I'm from that field. I know it better. That is one thing I know best. Planning and implementation. They've combined, because you know why this exercise is, why the ATP is important for this exercise. This is what you, as part of the 5 year target, of strategy. What is that you going to do this financial year? Your budget for this financial year will be informed by your ACC. Now, if you're presenting something else, I don't know, but can I get guidance from the members?
No, thank you, Chairperson. One would have expected to have a view of your annual performance plan document and how you go set about to align it to the budget. We do hear about the target. They have extrapolated from the strategy plan, but the thinking of the committee was that you are going to serve up to this document that is called an annual performance plan. It is still applies at the level of province. Some of us have said, except at the level of province, they do submit annual performance plan. So I do not know whether the different kind of planning at national and public provinces is something like that. We are a bit worried about this. Thank you, Chair.
I want to ask a question because I've noticed in the document that it's an we did not have an ATP. That is why they only analyze your budget. Do you have an ATP?
Yes, Chair, we do have an ATP. It is signed, it was submitted on time and approved. We do have an ATP. Slide 21 up to slide, if you read the presentation, up to slide 28, all of those clarify in our APP.
You don't understand what I'm saying. You don't understand what I'm saying. An AACP is a document. This is a presentation. You don't present everything. You just take key issues for the takeoff of the presentation. I'll allow you to proceed, but I don't think that is acceptable. Can I give you a moment?
No, thank you very much. I was saying for the purpose of process, let's note the fact that the department is the APP, even if they've got it. But we must record that there was no APP from the department. But let's allow the department to continue the presentation. And then if there is an APP from the department, it can always be submitted to the committee. And then as members and members of the committee will be able to peruse the particular APP in our own spare time. But that's for the purpose of progress. I'm proposing that let's continue. Let's allow the department to present and then we'll get the document at the later stage. Thank you very much.
Okay, no thanks. This is what we're talking about because that is the focus of this particular meeting. To know what to do, that you're going to do this year, what you're going to do per quarter, and the money that you are requesting, what it is that is going to do. So we can say your budget is enough or not enough. But in the absence of this size document, it becomes difficult to assist you. But let's take the presentation. Maybe from what you're presenting, we will be able to interact the document. And we then proceed. There was Mr. Tian who was coming in.
Thank you, Chairperson. We'll go to the next slide. The next slide directly talks to That statement is also drawn from the UN Habitat Convention. And we continue to say other embedded rights in this particular proper, inclusive of environment, that is not harmful to health or well-being, and it's stated in the section 24 and section 27 of the Constitution. The next slide then talks to the vision for human settlement by 2050, and it states that by that time, there should be visible results from effectively coordinated partial planning systems. We shall transform human settlements in South Africa. That's the bigger goal of human settlements going forward. That also should bring equity and efficiency to places with citizens living in close proximity to work and access to social facilities and necessary infrastructure. But by 2030, there should be measurable progress. what breaking apart is partial acceptance. Which are the main difficulties and advances proceeding as written settlements offered in the majority of Afghanistan the access of liquid housing better living around. So the plan that we are presenting is a succeed to what we intended if I may say so. For the next phase, the mission is therefore to ensure all Afghanistan have access to adequate housing and quality living conditions. Programs that provide 1 million housing opportunities for qualifying households over the next 5 years, providing basic services and infrastructure in all services and formal systems. This is taken directly from the system. We did state some of the challenges facing the environment society. It is currently the functionally critical certain patterns. It's pressure for the market with equitable and socially working and benefits. Housing affordability is a problem. Social planning is weak and the government capabilities are not strong. There is need to ensure continued provision of housing services and assets and basic services to meet a complex of housing affordability needs. The need to reactivate strong social solidarity amongst communities and the building of capable and competent citizens. These are the challenges that we have observed and are planning to overcome in the next 5 years. So the expected outcome, we should have a reduced human settlement and improved quality of household life. That is the target. And we have three sub-outcomes that we will measure over the period. The first one is adequate housing and improved quality living environment. The second is functionally equitable residential property market. And the third one, enhanced institutional capability for effective coordination and special investment decisions. Those are the three underpinning the work that will be doing at the department going forward. We then cite what the NDP has taken as development practice human settlement for the next 15 years with 30 forecasts on the following changes to land management. The chair has alluded to the problem of land. That's an area where we have been challenged to look at that much more strategically improved and connected special settings such as transformed human settlements in South Africa into equitable and efficient cities with citizens living in close proximity to work with access to social facilities and necessary infrastructure. And the coordination among ourselves as chief of government is critical. COPA is working on a program or a framework of integrated urban settlement environment something there being something and therefore we need to integrate the people of document for the same significant advances towards the existing existence offering the majority of Southlands access to adequate housing, affordable services in better living environments within a more equitable and functional residential property. I think one example that we cited quite frequently is the way to how it transformed. Just by ensuring that all citizens are bigger and better transport and so on. That's part of the retrofitting that needs to be considered because in those ones. Some of the priorities, we need to ensure all South Africans live in decent conditions and suitable housing and settlements. That's the reason why much effort placed on informal settlement upgrade. Implement integrated settlement residential programs to provide all inclusive amenities and public transport and overcome apathetic social development, provide 1 million housing opportunities, accelerate the provision of basic services in all existing informal settlements, increase the supply of affordable housing through mobilization of housing, allowance for teachers, nurses, officers, office workers, many others in the care market, working together with PDSA on this one, eliminate the backlog of hazards. An area where we put a lot of emphasis and the effort in this 5 years to ensure that the issue of backlog and hazards become fixed within the next 5 years. Some of the priorities continuing, issuing of credit to households, work with financial institutions, private sector organizations, cooperatives, and social partners to increase the provision of capital for housing. That includes establishment of mortgage insurance scheme, increase number of housing units in better located mixed income projects, and using catalytic projects such as integrated residential programs to direct investment in welcome apartheid special workers. Part of responding to the manifesto includes promoting integrated public transport systems, renew human settlements, including provision of passenger rail and buses, working closer with transport and veteran, connect additional 1.6 million homes to electricity grid over the next session, continue to work towards universal access to running water by providing access to those who live on the grid. In the second place on connecting electricity, is backed by also the green part of it, using solar. What we need to change to achieve this, we need to increase the number of households living in adequate housing, increase in the number of functional and integrated urban developments for poor households, and increase in access to basic infrastructure and services, improve social targeting of investment in areas that promote household livelihood, improve living environments for poor households and households, and enhance ability of poor neighborhoods to up the property ladder and increase pay capability in human settlement planning and development. And this is a challenge because it's not easily measurable. It is something that is to be done, but not easy to quantify and say, I have done. Before we work with our MD units, we effectively have the children and children. We want a very clear understanding of how we measure the success of it. Critical actions identified to achieve sustainable human settlement vision as adequate and quality living environment. We are in the process of agreeing housing policies to better realize constitutional housing rights, ensure that the liberal housing is used for the structured towns and cities and strengthen the livelihood aspects of households. We are also developing an intensive strategy to increase the supply of housing for children using Kenya tax. We're also looking at developing a more coherent and consistent approach to rent, and also include access to basic services and working with the Department of Water and Sanitation. Continuing on adequate health and quality development, we also implement projects that ensure social and economic integration. These include projects implemented in mining towns and provide support for economic development in the and develop minimum standards and finance options for investment in public space. Moving on to a functionally credible residential property market, we will revise the regulation and incentivize incentives for housing and land use. SSU will be working very closely with Department of Land Reform on the S-Plan. Radically revise the housing finance regime. This includes the consolidation of DFIs. We have three, the verification of finance options and products for the affordable debt market, and review the current finance products such as MDI and system. We will also develop a policy on incentive systems that support individual transactions in the affordable secondary housing market. That means increasing the work that is done by our SBA agency. Fast-track the issuing of outstanding title deeds. Issue title deeds for new housing units in the subsidy market and establish transactional support for affordable housing market. Continuing on a functionally equitable residential property market, we will establish transactional support for affordable housing market, monitor transactions in the secondary housing subsidy market, move that stock to be in the market for trade, intensify home ownership education programs for affordable housing market, analyze construction of new housing units in the entire residential property market, monitor the number of properties in property market entering the municipal rate program, collect, analyze, and disseminate information on property trends and rates in the affordable housing market. And lastly, enhance institutional capability for effective coordination of special investment decisions will strengthen the program for accreditation and assignment of municipality. We'll develop a monitoring and support program for assigned and accredited municipalities, implement technocracy capacity programs for human settlement development, increase participation of people as in housing development, community-based organizations, strengthen mechanisms to mobilize private sector contribution to human settlement development, develop horizontal and vertical mechanism among spheres of government contributing to human settlement development, and review planning systems to achieve better social impact. Those are the areas of our work program for the next 5 years. I will therefore like to give over to Mbu to take up the numbers and the projected title.
I don't know how I'm going to do this because time is really against. 5 minutes left, but I think this is the critical part that we want to go for this information. Okay, can we consider that computer on your chat?
Can you share the last part was about what we are contracting to do over the next 5 years. This part is about what we are contracting to do in this current financial year. I will run through all those key targets so that we can get to the budget aspect of it. This is what we want to budget in the current financial year, and my colleague will take us through the budget. The first indicator in this current financial year, we are contracting to deliver the green paper on June 7th. You are aware that we still have the housing act. We need to review certain aspects of that act. So we have the green paper, and that green paper will be delivered by May 2015 in this current financial year. The process has started already. We'll develop a coherent and inclusive approach to land for human settlement, the regulations, incentives for housing and land use management will be revised in this current financial year, and the target date is March 2015. The housing finance regime framework revised, my colleague has asked for this, that we need to review the housing finance regime framework. And that comprehensive essential review will be done in this current financial year by March 2015. The cooperatives policy, you'll notice that in the chapter 8 of the National Development Plan, we talk explicitly about the cooperatives policy and want that policy to be approved by March 2015. The implementation guidelines for the KHP, people housing process, which is one of our programs, which we are administering human settlement. You are aware that PHP started as ILIMA, people coming together to build houses for themselves, but in most instances, people are no longer building houses for themselves, they appoint service providers. So we have to review those guidelines, and we want this to be done in this current financial year. That's what we're contracting to do, Chair. The comprehensive rental policy, we do have the rental program. One of our programs is called the CRU program, the Community Residential Unit Program. We also have the Social Housing Rental Program. So we'll have a comprehensive review on the rental policy because we provide rental stock every year, and that will be done in this current financial year, and it is in our IPD. The strategic plan in terms of output, 2014-2015, we will also make sure that we have an implementation strategy to increase supply of housing opportunities for affordable housing markets. And this is, we're talking about the income category between 3,500 and 15,000. Per month, and those are people that we will be targeting. Institutional capacity for PHP to support informal settlement upgrading and rural housing program. PHP programs works well in most rural areas, and it works well in informal settlements because it's easy to mobilize people and get people together to build houses for themselves once you have provided them with service sites. So we have a target, the consolidation of the institutional capacity for PHP and informal settlement upgrading, and that needs to be done by 2015 before the end of the current financial year. Programs to support community-based cooperatives, non-profit rental and self-built housing. As we speak, we only have one cooperative in the rental space, and we want to increase that number. We look at the challenges in terms of managing rental programs through cooperatives, but our target is to increase the number of cooperatives that are participating in that case, and we're targeting to do this by 2015. the number of houses and housing opportunities in informal settlements located in quality living environments. You will notice, if you look at our past annual report, that the bulk of the housing grant goes into informal settlement upgrades. We start packaging the project. We provide the services up to stage 2 before we build a stop structure, which is stage 5 of the upgrading of the informal settlements program. What we plan to do is to upgrade, to help upgrade plans. There's a program that we're administering. It's called National Upgrading Support Program, NASP in short. And we want to make sure that we help those plans, at least in 8 metropolitan municipalities, comprehensive informal settlements upgrade plan. But we also want to make sure that we have clear, credible plans for the mining towns. There are about 8 mining areas that we are targeting. We can give you the list of all of those areas. It will be your Greater Bujumbura district, yes, the Kukuni land in Greater Tlaxi. We have Klerksdorp, we have Katu, Emalahin, Western area, and others. We'll give you a list of all of those 8 mining towns which we will be targeting in this current financial year. We have this informal settlement upgraded to phase 2 of the informal settlement in this current financial year. We're contracting to make sure that we upgrade at least 300 informal settlements to stage 2. Stage 2 is the provision of basic services. In our 5-stage upgrade of informal settlements program, stage 2 is about services. 150,000 households upgraded to phase 2. Again, we are upgrading households to phase 2. In other words, formalizing the settlement and providing basic services. The number of housing units for subsidy houses submarket provided, here the target is 112,600 housing units for subsidy housing submarket provided, and then we have 5,400 social housing units. And again, this is informed by the availability of the budget, by what the money can buy. You will look at those figures. They will be broken down by program, housing program, and the colleague is going to take us through all of that. The number of affordable housing loans for new houses in affordable gap housing sub-market. Here we're talking again about people who earn between 3,500 to 15,000 income earners, and that's what we're only referring to as a gap market or affordable housing market. Here we have a target of 22,000 affordable housing opportunities for this market to be provided and supported by the DFIs. The DFIs are your development fund institutions, your nature, and what you would refer to as government.
You can then go through
the the next one is 7,000 affordable rental housing opportunities. That's what we're collecting to deliver. Backyard policy instruments and draft regulations, which was rendered to MINMEC last week. Technical MINMEC last week. We're working with SALGA to deal with this particular program. Hectares of well-located and the zones and the list for new development. This is the target that the Housing Development Agency is contracting to achieve for us. HDA is one of our institutions. We will be targeting between 2,000 per annum. The 5-year target is 10,000. All new housing developments in existing 120,000 households have access to basic infrastructure. This is an annual target, 120,000. We think we have basic infrastructure services, 150,000 households in informal settlements will have access to basic services. I think we stated that target. The multi-year human settlement development plan that supports special targeting, social and economic integration. Here we're talking about 5-year plans. The packaging of human settlements project, it takes 3 years to package a human settlement project and to hit the ground. If it's a brownfield project, the informal settlement, it takes between 5 to 8 years to do that. So we're contracting to make sure that we have credible multi-year human settlement development plan from our province. The number of catalytic projects that demonstrate spatial, social, and economic integration. You recall that in 2005 we passed the Breaking New Ground policy, which put more emphasis on integration and sustainable human settlement. We don't want to create houses in the periphery. We want to build houses in areas where you will be able to push economic integration. The first target is 50 catalytic projects. That's what we want to achieve over the next 5 years. But we've asked provinces already to submit some of those catalytic projects At least in this current financial year, we want to be able to make sure that we have 10 karaoke projects that are running. For the sake of time, I think it's going to be extremely difficult for me to go through all of this, and I don't think that we'll be doing justice to this part, because it is the most important part of the presentation. And if we don't perform this way, you're going to hold accountable for poor performance. And that is why I'm going a little bit, but we can always come back to this.
And conclude as long as you don't elaborate much, because I think it's clear.
Okay. All right, the next part is about the strategy to increase the supply of affordable housing. I think I covered that. We've talked about MDI, which is a mortgage default insurance scheme. We've talked about FLISP, FLISP is our policy, which targets people earning between 2,500 to 15,000. We talked about vertical and horizontal contracting, but in achieving some of these targets, we will have to contract with our sister department, and we will also have to contract with the provinces and municipalities, basically. We've talked about targeting 400,000 consumers in our consumer education program, home ownership program. You are now aware that EAAB, the Estate Asset Agency Board, is part of Human Settlement, and they will be assisting us to achieve that target. To conclude, Chair, what we want to achieve in the current financial year, we want to make sure that we target the issue of title deeds. You notice that this item features very prominently in all the documents, in the NDP, in the Green Party Manifesto. This is one target that we want to achieve. But in this current financial year, we will be able to review at least and be able to target 112,000 title deeds. In terms of the accreditation of the metropolitan municipalities, this is another item that served in the human settlements political minute last week, where the minister wanted to take a fresh look at it. Our target, as it stands, is to make sure that all the six metropolitan municipalities are accredited for human settlements in this current financial year. But we will await the decision of the next political minister, because the minister's main concern is that this is not a compliance exercise. We don't want to do accreditation at all costs. What we need to make sure is that the numbers don't go down, when we don't want to use accreditation as an excuse for not meeting our time. Chair, I'm going to leave it there and then ask our FTCFO to take up to part two, which is about the budget. Over to you, Chair.
Okay, let's move to the next slide, please. The budget of the department, Chair, is for the financial year standing at 50.5 billion, split between the National Department operational budget of 828 million and grants and transfer payments amounting to 29.6 billion, totaling to 980 billion. You will notice, Chair, that our budget is split between 3%. 97% and the National Department of Operations are only funded by 3% of the total allocation. I will not be able to cover the time yet. I will not be able to go through every slide. This is just the operational budget of the department split between the three programs in the budget structure of the department. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. The 97%, which is the main part of the budget share, you will notice that it amounts to 29.6 billion in the current financial year. It increases to 31.9 billion in the second year of the MTEF and to 33.5 billion in the outer year of the MTEF. You will notice here that in the current financial year, 87.7 billion is direct grants. 964 million is indirect grant. Transfers to public entities amounts to about a billion. And the departmental transfers amounts to 9.5 million. You will also notice that the biggest grant we are managing is Human Settlement Development Grant, which in the current financial year stands at 17.084 billion. And that grant is transferred to provinces. The next biggest one is the Urban Settlement Development Grant, which is a grant transferred to
The indirect grants are made up of mainly two grants, and the biggest one is Human Settlement Development Grant. That grant share has been sliced off from the main grant, the Human Settlement Development Grant. It is a two-year allocation, and it is intended to address and fund budget eradication throughout the country. I'll get into more details in the following slides here. Transfers to public entities. The department is about 8 public entities, and transfers only about is only those 3 which are receiving transfers this year and in the following 3 years. It's the Social Housing Regulatory Authority, Housing Development Agency, and the Community Scheme Ombuds Services. The total, as you can see here, is $1 billion. And lastly, there are departmental transfers. There are 3 of them. The department is running a scholarship program. Its allocation currently is $4.4 million. There is also a transfer to the Nelson Mandela University for the establishment of a chair. Currently, it's $3.9 million. And lastly, here is transfer to the UN Habitat, which is a transfer on behalf of the country. Next slide. I will not go through the slide here because it's just the same budget but split by programs within the department. This is the main grant, the Human Settlement Development Grant, split among all the 9 provinces. And you will notice that the biggest portion goes to Gauteng, followed by EZN, Eastern Cape, and all, and then they follow through. You will also notice that the grant increase is from 17 billion to 20 billion in the outer year of the MTF. Next slide, please. This slide shows the same grant allocation, but again gives more detail of the 17 billion allocation. The allocation is split between 1, the formula portion, which is on the third column, entitled HSDG formula portion. It amounts to 16.6 billion. That portion there is determined by a formula which takes into account various aspects in the province, the population size, the share of the province's poverty, and the level of housing needs in the province. Those things are taken into account on the formula, and it gives the allocation to each province based on the formula. Then there are 2 other additional amounts which have been allocated by National Treasury, 290 million, which is targeting mining towns. You'll remember here that mining towns are usually have higher need for human settlements. And lastly, it's the disaster relief portion, which is mainly based on the disasters which took place in the previous financial year. The National Treasury allocates this amount based on the information they have gathered from the National Disaster Center in Culture. Next slide, please. This grant here is the Human Settlement Development Grant. As I have indicated, it is sliced off from the main grant. It is intended to address the budget to fund budget eradication in the country. It's a two-year allocation. You will notice here that it is based on the bucket backlogs in the country. And the first 2 columns actually indicate the number of buckets and their percentages right through the country by province. And then the fourth column gives the current year's allocation of 899,176 million. And then the following year is 975. The last 2 columns give an indication of what are the targets in terms of what is planned to be achieved, the number of targets to be eradicated this year and in the following financial year. The Area Settlement Development Grant is translated to metros. It is a supplementary grant. It supplements the capital budget of metros. It is intended to assist metros to add on what they have budgeted for in their own funding. The total of the grant in the current financial year is 10.2 billion. and it's transferred only to those metros as indicated in the Eastern Cape. There are two, Papua City and Nelson Mandela. In the Free State there is one, Mulawin. And in Gauteng there are three. KZN is one, Eastern, and in Western Cape is the city of Cape Town. That branch, as you can see, it increases from 10.2 billion to 11.2 billion in the outer year of MTF. This is a new branch. It is intended to facilitate municipalities, the metros getting ready, having them ready for accreditation. And it has been referred to previously that there is an intention or there has been a plan to accredit the metro that they can be able to handle the joint treatment function. It's a 900 million grant over 3 years. It has been sliced off from the main grant as well, and it is 300 million per annum for 3 years. I will not get into the details of the amount the municipality gets. The rural household infrastructure grant is also a grant transferred to municipalities. But it is this portion, it has got two portions, a direct and an indirect portion. The direct portion is transferred directly to municipalities who are water service authorities. And in the current financial year, it amounts to 47.6 million. And it increases to 51 million in the following financial year. And then in the next slide, there is an indirect portion. This portion is managed by the department. It's not transferred to municipalities. It is spent in relation to all those municipalities as listed. This grant share addresses deadlocks in rural areas, in sanitation deadlocks in the rural areas. And it's allocated to those municipalities in this current financial year. It increases from 65 in the current financial year to 67 million in the following financial year. Next slide, please. Thank you very much, Chair. And that chair just gives an overview of the vote, the current budget, and how it has been split among various aspects of the department. Thank you.
The last part of the presentation is about the breakdown of the grant by program in provinces. You will be guided by yourself as to how we manage the fund.
Yeah, that is why the ACP was important, because now we're leaving out what is critical. But anyway, you were supposed to think it as a... You can now... It is past 11. I don't know how to... But this one is covered on the presentation you made. I'm asking a question. The remainder of the presentation, is it covered on the previous presentation?
Part of it, yes.
Part of it.
Part of it are covered in the previous part.
Members, what do we do? Can I get it?
Thank you, Chairperson. Maybe we must continue with the questions and see what comes out of it. And so then they can get back to this presentation.
Okay. No, thank you very much. I think let's do that. We run out of time, but there are two issues that I would want to speak to before I open for members to engage with the presentation. The one issue, this year is 2014, supposed to get in on. Are we there? Where are we in terms of the clean audit as a department, the issues of Auditor General, Management Center, and the understanding the challenges that are facing the department. As you know that we are from Forest, we know the challenges maybe better than you know them, because we are from provinces. And yeah, I just wanted to check that are we flowing to the mentally. And I will open for members to engage with the presentation. And then I'm going to send you a thing. Okay, let me start from last subject.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I've got a lot of questions. You must stop me when you think I'm talking too much. Sometimes it is good to be on the same portfolio as in the previous term, so I know where all the problems is regarding housing, or a lot of the problems in the province. So I think I will start with that.
As long as you're not going to motivate and make a speech and whatever, you can
go
straight to the question.
Yeah, I'll do so. Thank you, Chair. Well, our main purpose is oversight, and so with our oversight, what we saw in what happened in the provinces, and that is why it is so important to have the ATP on hand so that you can give us the right budget for the different provinces. So there is a lot of that in this presentation, and to which municipalities and who the contractors and the starting date and the date of completion. I think that is things we need. When we have the budget in hand and we do our oversight. I want to know the NABRC, what role are they playing at this stage in the department? Are you making use of them? That is the National Home Builders Registration Council. And the role they play at this stage in your budget and in your plan. 43 in Marikana, that is a critical site. The president made a lot of promises there that houses are being built, and at this stage nothing really happened there, and that is 2 years down the drain, and the people are really suffering in that area. That's a mining area, and I see, or I saw in your presentation that you're making a lot of money available for it. So I want to know, what is your program on Marikana at this stage? Kusong in Coltonville is also a burning issue. They start with the housing there. There's 16,000 houses that must be built in that area, and that project has a lot of problems. What is your interaction in specific in that area? I asked in the past a lot of questions regarding that, so I'll just refresh your mind on that. Rustenburg, 500 houses were start building in Mariteng. Nothing happened about it. The houses were demolished. It is laying apart. What are you going to do about that? KwaZulu-Natal, Bluetooth, 500 houses was also demolished with our Parliament to the People in 2011. Promises was made to that people there. I want to know how far is the department regarding that. How many money is available in the budget for rectifying houses? A lot of houses is falling apart. They must rebuild the houses. I want to know what is in the planning in the budget regarding rectifying of houses. What measures are you going to use to make more land available, and especially closer to the working places for our people? We know that traveling is a problem, and we need people closer to their workplace. What is the department, what do you have in plan for that? How are you going to transform human development in South Africa so that we can have more diversity where people stay? Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you. I think it's very difficult to speak after Honorable Kunda, because he takes everything from us. And I think the next committee we must have
maybe
the last one, because otherwise you have all of us useless. But be that as it may, I think most of the issues have been covered by him. In the presentation by the DDG, he raised a very important element of the accreditation of municipalities. I think it's an issue that has become, I'm happy actually to see it as part of the indicators in the annual performance plan of the department. It has been coming for a very long time, because you see in provinces where we come from, the situation has been that the national department gives the grants over to the province. But the provinces are actually able to spend some of the grants because of some of the municipalities were supposed to implement millions or to spend that budget. are not well accredited or don't have the right accreditation and so forth. So be that as it may, I also wanted to raise the issue about the land invasion. You see, prior to elections and after elections, there was a huge outcry in most of the provinces around some of the land that was invaded, which belongs to municipalities and all of that. But you find a situation in a number of provinces that municipalities, they do make provision for land or allocation of houses, where the municipality would normally go out to service the land. But that land that has been serviced, most of our people on the ground, they don't prefer, they actually don't prefer to go to such areas. Because in most cases, those areas are far from town, and they are unable to actually access such areas. But I also want also department, because as part of your oversight, you also need to assist provinces in terms of your oversight responsibility in regards to the issue of land invasion. What is it the department is actually doing in that process? Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you. The next one.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Firstly, let me say message to the two questions approach. I think it's time to begin. I want to check Honorable Chair.
It's not me. It's not me who say that. It's
fact. Accept it. I just want to check what is the criteria that is being used in terms of identifying beneficiaries, because we are having a challenge in this regard. I'm taking Mpuru and a month. I'm having maybe two dots in the house. You find that before I can be allocated a house, my children come first. What is the criteria that is being applied in terms of house allocation? Then, what is the department doing in its own oversight on consultants and contractors? Because we have seen most of the jobs being shorty, and then how far are we in terms of blacklisting the contractors who are not doing a job as expected? And then this challenge that most of the beneficiaries are on the orphan list because they are determined that they are being affected by this geotech. This maybe the ground is still to be tested, but it takes a very long time and we can't move as we are expected. Thank you, Chair.
Can you see the next one?
How will you cover this side? My question is on the ceiling of the people in the municipalities. Each department guide they take on the capacity or masala. How is the department going to what is the plan of the department to fill the vacancy, the high vacancy rate in the municipality? Also, on the housing project. Each department, I have to say,
Thank you. Thank you. I just wanted to know on page 18, budget eradication program. Why I see on the promise of first stage is actually this budget system. So I would like to know what is it that they try to do. Because it's really explaining 2014, 2015. And I heard the MEC was on here actually saying, admitting that yes, they have a better look as far as the budget transition is concerned. So what is it that the segment is doing to see that this project is being participated?
The next one?
Yeah, thank you, sir. I'll start from the slide on page 19, Earth Entitlement Development Grant. Chairperson, this formula used there is disadvantaging KwaZulu-Natal. KwaZulu-Natal is second to Gauteng in terms of population. But now, because you use the metro there, KwaZulu-Natal is one metro, it gets only 1.8 billion, with Gauteng getting 4.9 billion. There are three Asturian metros in KwaZulu-Natal. So I'm saying the formula I'm using of giving only to the metros is a big disadvantage to KwaZulu-Natal. Some of those kids that are in Asturian metros are as people bigger than some of the metros that they have in the past. So if somebody said they're an Asturian metro, we have read up the titles of the Asturian metro and Newcastle and Asturian metro. Some of them are bigger than the metros like even the fund. Those Asturian metros are not taking anything. If you can reconsider that. And on page 18, your HSCG budget allocation given to mining towns, that deadlock the mining towns, there is a dash KwaZulu-Natal. KwaZulu-Natal has got mining towns that have been allocated. They have got places like Dandi KwaZulu-Natal and areas around Lake Mead, which used to be mining towns. But when you allocate to mining towns, KwaZulu-Natal is not getting anything. I would just like to know why, because we do have these mining towns. In fact, the province, the Department of Culture, is funding the revitalization of these towns. But nationally, it's disrespecting us as a province by our being And lastly, Chairperson, I'd like to, this is just for my understanding, which is an interesting kind of policy, I would say. Your fleet, you think the budget of 3,500 to 15,000. But let's understand this. How is it going to work, or how does it work? I didn't know about it. I'd like to get more clarity on it. So how does it work? I didn't know that you're now over loan to 3,000.
Okay, and the last one?
Thank you, Chairperson. I've been covered by Ndom and some of the questions because we come from St. Robins anyway. but my question is with regard to the subsidy quantum for an RCP house. As to, I was made to understand that the quantum is increased. But my worry is that the increase doesn't take care of increasing space to be occupied. It is meant to address some other issue other than increasing the size of the house. We would be very much be interested in the as black family with four big families. So my question is, why is it that the department would actually increase the quantum, but the fixed province is instead of saying you may not use it to add a room, but you'd rather use it for any other thing in the structure. That is a big worry. For boys, for girls, in a family, it needs to be addressed those issues. My other question is with regard to your target. Your target on page 23. I see that there are provinces where the targets have dropped drastically. Like in the case of the Northwest, they have drastic decrease, in the case of Mpumalanga, and various other provinces, which makes me question whether I will be able to reach the target of 1 million that you give us, that you wish to reach other places. I will be grieving that. Or it is caused by the state of freshness of provinces. I just think I reach in that direction. And on page 22, when I look at the better allocation rate, it tends to be decreasing. And I don't know why. For almost all the provinces, it is slightly decreasing. I don't know why that is the case, because we need housing. People are waiting eagerly and impatiently for the housing. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. we don't have much time. It is suggesting that we need to meet again. Because we want the ATP, Corset ATP. Because if you had a Corset ATP, you will not go through all these other presentations because it sort of includes everything in one presentation. But we appreciate the presentation. I have few issues that I wanted to check in education to this. The scope of the electricity connection. My little understanding is that is the competency of municipalities and ESCOM. Why would you go to electricity? Because I think we have enough to do. I'm not saying don't do it. Just asking because we are struggling to do what we need to do at the department. Why would you venture into, I know that it's part of the services that you want to provide to municipalities as you build those settlements, we provide all the services. And how is it going to be done? It might create a problem if you want to do it in the new area that you're going to be developing. That in those local municipalities, there are areas that have been waiting for electricity for quite a long time. If they will see that happening, it will also agitate communities and such that sometimes they may cater. It doesn't take much for them to be on the street. We just raise an issue which might, if not done carefully, create problems. I was hearing something about incomplete houses. There are a number of the complete houses. Old, some of them very old, until now they are not completed. I'm sure it also goes with the monitoring of these budgets that you are transferring to provinces. To what extent do you monitor the implementation of this project as you present them? You spoke about the issues of land, but my question is on the what are you going to do on the state-owned land, not only land that is in transport to national leaders, but there is state-owned land. In the case of Mpumalanga, the issue of Msholozi is more than, I don't know how many years now, an application was made in Mpumalanga, and there was a commitment, but it's difficult for government, for the municipality to get that land from the National Department of Public Works. It was raised with your entity, what is that entity that receives the land? Yeah, it was raised with them, and the number of pieces of land that was, they were requested to assist, which land belonged to the state. Illegal occupation of houses. There are a number of them, not in other provinces. There are a number of houses that were illegally occupied by people. The rightful owners are outside, and some of them have taken a number of years. But I don't see those things in the plan of the department, which you may want to deal with them. There is an issue of a state of readiness at the beginning. There are a number of projects that you are presenting here which I have a feeling that you are not ready to implement. But they appear on a program and you get money for that. By the end of the financial year, you will not be able to implement them because I think you are not ready. The issue, one of the projects is the, if I may use an example, catalytic project. It's not the only one. You are saying you are still waiting for provinces to give you areas where you complete the project. That's a clear indication that you're not ready. Because if you are to do a project, the area itself has got a bearing. You can't say you're going to do 50 of them, only to find that if you go to that place, then the mountainous place, it will need more money than the money that you had initially anticipated. So I'm worried about this project where you still looking for provinces because it means to me that you are not ready. The issue of one of the priorities, contribution to decent jobs, I did not hear anything about that. It might be part of this project that you're talking about, but you want to hear it coming up clearly. This is your contribution to the decent jobs that you're going to contribute as a department. Budget eradication, I want to go back to that one. I had thought even some case that was not yet on budget. if you think of it in case you think of a small heaven. Now, I see the bucket. I was going to talk about the informal segment, especially in the Western case. And does anyone know what to send to? There's a lot of them. Forget about what the government of Western Cape is saying. Think about what people are saying about South Africa. I mean, what they are saying is politics. Leave that. Think about the country. What do people say when they come to South Africa? Try to get away from the airport. Everything is easy. What do people say about us in South Africa with those informal agreements? I would want us to treat the Western Cape like any other province. Don't listen to what they're saying. Look what everyone is happening in that province. Viability of politics. Leave what is one of the best run provinces. Politics. Look at what is actually happening in the province. We must treat Western Cape like any other province in terms of our services. One of them, like, I'm not sure whether it has been accommodated, especially with the informal segment, looking at the site where they are and the image of the country in the south. And now they are market system. Where are they? Where have you been there? You saw them. Where are they? Everything to those ones.
We're not referring to Pata Pata.
Oh, you're not referring to that one?
No.
It means a lot more. Because those are not different. Sanitation infrastructure. So it means you must also include that. Because it's not going to be a bad situation. We can't expect our people to. It's a different packet. If I may put a little Pata Pata, much Pata Pata, open it's a different packet for me. What's slide number 19? I think it also goes to 20. No, I'm not sure if I'm going to say this page. I mean, I'm okay to 20. I'm worried about those, it's a new grant. Yeah. It starts from the back. I'm worried, yeah, it starts from page 19 to page 20. The way I see it, we are widening the gap between errand areas, that is the metro, and the road areas. I don't know whether you're conscious of that. In your air presentation, you want to bridge that gap. But in reality, in terms of the project, we open it up. If you want to see problems in terms of human settlement, which you are in, then you see that people really need housing. It's not always that we want to take people to town. We want to develop rural areas, bring town to the people. So, I think for me that should be the approach. Other than opening this gate, the understanding now, general understanding now is that most government projects are between Ekurhuleni, Joburg, Cape Town. We can't live like that. This is a confirmation of that. I would rather suggest that we are too biased to our rural areas. Develop areas to where people, bring way to where people are staying, other than moving people from rural areas to town. In fact, it does contribute to immigrant urbanization, where people in numbers flow to town and it gives it pressure to the urban areas. So for me it should be the other way around. Give more grants to rural areas so they can develop those areas into semi-town if you want to put it, and people have work where they stay. A lot of issues that I want to raise. I don't know whether you want to respond, but I was thinking that you can respond to a few, but we need another session. The secretary is here. She's going to arrange for us that maybe one of the politicians will be part of that meeting. If you want, not to all questions, but plenty of them. I'm sure you have written some of them down. Okay? I don't know who's starting.
Okay.
expenditure of the shop, I've noted almost more than 40-45 questions. And we want this report to all of them. I must say that all the questions are very relevant, and this is what we grapple with in almost all human documents sessions. Let me start with the last question about the human document capacity building grant, which goes to the metro. We've had a big discussion about this grant. Most people are saying it's not a progressive grant because it rewards people who can afford to capacity themselves. Metropolitan municipality can capacity themselves. They can go out to the market and raise loans. But some district municipalities, such as Ilem, they need struggle to get funding for capacity themselves. Just using this as an example, there is that discussion within human settlement between ourselves and TREGA. And I think this will also be considered in the review by the minister because this is linked to accreditation. This grant was intended to assist metros to accredit themselves, to build the capacity to accredit themselves. But the minister has asked us to put this item on hold until the next minute because she wants to take a fresh look at it. So that discussion about whether this is a progressive grant or a regressive grant, it is relevant, I must say. The question about the informal settlements in the Western Cape, there is a significant number of informal settlements. Yeah, the informal settlements that you are referring to, we know them, in fact, they were part of the N2 Gateway Phase 2 of the N2 Gateway. That is your Barcelona, Qatar, Guzelzele, Europe, Canada. I think there's another one, Kosovo, which is a Kibik. All of those informal settlements, they are planned for upgrading. We are aware that there's a project that is linked to the upgrading and the de-densification of those informal settlements. But the level of service, because your question is linked to budget, whether there is budget or not. There is budget. We verified them. The starting point was ZSA figures. If you go to the ZSA report, the Census 2011 report, ZSA is very clear about where budgets are throughout the country, and they will tell you. And the figures are there. We didn't want to be academic about whether this constitutes a budget or not, because I think that was a debate at some point when, is this a budget or not? What is the definition of a budget? I think that is an academic exercise. At a service delivery level, at an informal settlement level, it's easy to identify a budget that is not functioning. In some cases, a chemical toilet that are being provided by municipalities, when they are not functioning and not working, the difference between those chemical toilets and the actual baggage is very small. It's not there at all because what the service providers were contracted to do that work, they come every week sometimes, once a month or sometimes, they don't come at all, and they will remove the baggage itself in a chemical toilet and then replace it with another baggage. But if that portion which is supposed to be removed and cleaned in a chemical toilet is not removed and it's not cleaned regularly, then it becomes another baggage. So we thought that let's agree as to what constitutes a baggage. The areas which affect you to a number of areas, for instance, there's an area called the BM section in Kailisha. We qualify plus minus 7,000 baggage. There we ask HDE to go and verify the number of baggage. We've seen some of them in the informal areas next to N2. We've quantified and we've verified. We went back even before deciding to go on tender. The point service providers are going to assist us to eradicate those targets because we have put 100 million rand aside for target eradication in the Western Cape. The Free State, the biggest number of targets in the country are in the Free State. That is why if you look at the grant, the biggest share of that grant goes to Free State. And those buckets, we put aside an amount of about 300 million rand to deal with bucket eradication in the 50s. In this province, HDA is an implementing agent. They will be helping us. We are working with the city and with the province to eradicate those buckets. We will be sending a service letter back to the individual HDD in the province. In the 50s, we have Bloom Hotel, who is working as an implementing agent. They started last year. What Kerta needs to say is that a significant number of baggage in formal areas, not in informal areas, but in established townships, surveyed townships, is Free State, Northern Cape, and Eastern Cape.
So we started with budget application in those three provinces last year. We arrived at budget in a sub-township, informal township. Now this year the focus is on eradicating budget in informal settlement. And I thought that maybe let's start with that question. I think I will ask my colleagues to make a contribution. And they wanted to answer a question about the MHDRC, the role that they are playing. I will come back to the question about Marikana. What are we doing now? What have we put aside in Marikana? Because there is a budget of about $125 million that we put aside for the greater Bujanala region, not as Marikana. So I'll answer some of the questions if we still have time. But let me hand over to my colleagues to pick and choose some of the questions.
Can I suggest that you answer in the Marikana important question?
Okay.
Then we move to others so that you don't come to Chile.
Okay, so in Marikana is a cross-border area. It settles between Rustenburg and Madeleine, so the two municipalities that are involved there. And you have about 25,000 beneficiaries who are residing in all of those informal settlements. We've worked with the money houses. For instance, last week, the MEC was doing first training with Lonmin, with the CEO of Lonmin, for the service portion of Marikana. Remember, there was a service portion which was serviced by Lonmin and handed over to the province. And you're talking about 1,700 services. But I'll verify the exact figure, but it's more than 1,000. Now, we have to bring in the subsidy. In this current financial year, we budgeted about $155 million to deal with all the mining areas, not just Marikana, because sometimes when we talk about the greater Bujanala challenges, we always focus on Marikana. The other areas, in most Kotane, we have informal settlements, you have mine workers, you see, in those informal settlements. In Madeleine, you have informal settlements in other areas. But Marikana, it covers the three major areas, the three major informal settlements, plus the traditional authority as well, which is linked to that. I think it would be Yonkameng informal settlements, it would be your Van der Kolk informal settlement, and all of those areas are being targeted for upgrading. There are plans in place by both Rustenburg and Madeleine municipality. We will be appointing HDA, working with the presidency, because they're coordinating the steering committee at the national level. At the regional level, we have Bujana district coordinating all the activities. But HDA will be our implementing agent. They are already there. They have packaged the plan already from MAP. We've given them the budget to package the plans. The informal settlements upgrade plan, which is headed in Marikana right now, is informal settlements upgrade. That's what we prioritize. First, we get the plan packaged. Secondly, we get the land. Land has been given to us, about 2 hectares of land. They have been given to government to kickstart the process. So we do have all the plans, but we've put, for this current financial year, we put about $150 million to prioritize the housing program. The first training exercise that you saw on TV maybe last week, which was reported widely in the newspaper, that one is more of a mixed type of development. You will have your BNG beneficiaries, what you used to call the RCP, what we call the BNG housing, which is the free subsidy housing program, and then there will be the rental part of it. Please bear in mind that in most of the mining areas, the mine owners earn more than what we can provide for free. So they are outside the free housing category. We provide free housing to people who earn less than 3,500. And the majority of the miners, they earn more than 3,500. So which means then that we have to look for another approach, a different approach. Most of them will qualify for rental housing. But the rental housing policy will have to be reviewed as well if we want to accommodate them. Because the upper threshold for the rental housing is 7,500. And some of the miners, and you've seen through the slide, that they want to get 12,500. So if they earn 12,500, they will not be in bracket. So that's the challenge that we are faced with. We have to tweak the policy a little bit in some areas to accommodate them. And lastly, Chair, in all of the mining towns, in all the Rustenburg, I think it will be Rustenburg, which is in a restructured zone, through the policies that we are administering, we are not allowed to provide rental housing outside the restructured zone. So we will have to make sure that all of these mining towns, the growing mining towns, areas, rather than is in a restructured zone, so it makes life much easier for us. that will provide enough to the in other areas will help to ask the minister to approve the increase of the number of the restructured zones. So that's where we will be able to provide enough stock. And the question about Israel, why is not in the list, I'll come back to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. There was a question in terms of the role of the NHDRC. NHDRC plays a regulatory role in the built environment. This is to make sure that all the houses that are being built comply to the building regulatory standards. What does this mean to us? Is that also in terms of the subsidy market that inspection is being provided? And in the long term, what we are looking, we are expecting to happen is that when the NHDRC has played its role from the foundation up until the house is being completed, government should not be expected to have a ratification program, because it will mean we are now engaging into a full cash expenditure, because the inspection should have been completed. And how to have qualified with all the building standards. Also, the question was being raised in line with the budget, in relation to the budget. The NHDRC is one of those entities that does not get funding from the fiscal. When it was established, it was given the capital injection and it was expected to be self-sustainable, and they continue to be as such. Thank you.
Number of questions which I think were more or less relating to coordination more than direct responsibility for the department. One of them was abolition in relation to electrification. Yes, we don't have a handle for electrification. But in the coordination and in light of the manifesto, we have an obligation to ensure that when we hand over the health, it is for electrification. So that level of coordination is going to be high on the agenda, working together with the other departments. That's the way we are approaching it. Also, the question of integration as asked by Honorable that relates to what we call the inclusion equality, which speaks to having a greater community. Not only integrated in terms of the relationship that we could have, living together as neighbors across the color spectrum. That is part of the quality of government. But equally so, the whole notion of working with land reform in the new policy called the Roma, it is about building regulations into this particular work that will allow for the force or give meaning to that level of authority to force that development to take advantage. So there's quite a lot of work that we'll be working together with ourselves to achieve towards achieving. I will avoid Memamburu's question the black district, but I'll leave it to move to take the next one. The feeling of the campus as well is not directly the function where we control as the National Department. I know that for the plan which they presented the last joint amendment that we have of how each and every one of those critical documents could be across the top of the control control to be fixed. So we will follow that one to how we keep that on the the towns you are raising is not only KZN. It is across the country. We call those towns secondary cities. And there is a hookup in the secondary cities. There is a recognition that it is not only the city control that needs to give attention. The secondary cities need more attention. In essence, wrapping that is one of the things. Most of the thing is, and so you go across the country and where it's not, it's not a great, it's only the pigments that are getting the attention. But the second one is, if you to vote for the numbers of that presentation, you will see the next level of presentation is taking into account all those commonalities. In relation to rental, I know Newcastle is supposed to be also accredited to be a restructure zone so that it can to rent around. And so we can go through and drill into those cities later on when we have the conversation to get the information. The question raised by the chair of the state of the union is a fair question. It does cover things to what Hammond said. Can you give me the projects and the contractor and so on? And perhaps this is not the meeting where we're set out to do that, but it's something that we need to come back and say, in relation to the current business plan, this is what provinces are supposed to do, this is how it's going to be done, and therefore this is how it is. So that when we come back, we should be able to give that table of information to the channel. And I will leave the other issues on the subject here, the size of the house and not the size of the house, to my colleagues, but yeah, I avoid this speaking.
Chairperson, thank you. I think William's point is an important one of the last one, and it's been an ongoing conversation between ourselves and national integration. I think an interesting point for the colleagues representing the Northwest, that I was in fact representing the largest growing town sitting on the continent of Africa. And other research has shown that these towns, the secondary towns and cities, not only on the continent, but in South Africa, are the ones that are experiencing the most rapid growth. So quite frankly, Richards Bay, Rustenburg, Mombela, and very often those are the cities who are least capable or capacitated and resourced to actually respond to that rapid growth. So it's a conversation which is ongoing. And in fact, you will see in the presentation part of DVD Changana's input is the whole assignment and accreditation process. Yes, we're talking about the metros, the six metros, but in addition to that, accrediting those secondary towns and cities. Without getting into the detail of the numbers, and in fact, a lot of the questions that have been talked to or asked, in fact, relate to part three of the presentation. And I think at a later point, we stand more than ready to make to brief the committee around the detail of how provinces plan to spend the money. And the detail, we'll be able to provide even further detail to that already provided in today's presentation. The one question that my colleague really wanted to avoid around the increase in the quantum. Honourable Member, the increase in the quantum is almost a response to the work that the Department of Trade and Industry and the Agrima Board had done in 2011-2012. DPI is responsible for the oversight in respect of the national building regulations. And in 2 years or so ago, that department did a fair amount of work in respect of improving the quality of norms and standards in respect of buildings in its entirety, industrial, commercial, etc. And by and large, the whole green, pushing the green agenda. And in response, the department has needed to improve the specification of the houses that it produces, right? And so you'll find that subsidy quantum has increased from around 95,000 to just over, it was about 84,000 to just over 110, and that excludes the land. And that relates purely to the specifications of our product, which now needed to be brought in line with the national building regulations. The Yeah. See, I'm going to there are a lot of issues around how much has been set aside for rural electrification, money down. Mm-hmm. We leave that for a subsequent briefing to the select committee. Just one last point, and the question around diversity, integration of human settlements, etc. Again, I think it's a question which warrants a more detailed response. But I think the point of departure, the need to understand that the question is one which needs to be responded to jointly by a number of partners and spheres of government. Local government is responsible constitutionally for planning, for spatial planning. Department of Human Settlements equally has a contribution to make, and in that regard, Boos already talked about our input into norms and standards in terms of the Spatial Planning and Land Use Management Act. Our minister is able to provide specific norms and standards for human settlements. He's already talked about the review of policies and programs, and then also the conditionalities that we attach to funding. So you see again that more than just looking at outputs, those outputs need to contribute to specific human settlement outcomes. And that is the question that I am suspicion you've been alluding to. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
So another one before we take over. My time is really, really bad. Excuse me. To finalize our matters and then the plenary.
I'll give
two now. Okay. Chair, I just wanted to respond to two questions that you raised. One was, is about to be audited. I'm hoping for an unqualified audit chair, but at the moment the sanitation program is really adversely affecting the progress in the audit. No, we are not in clean, but unqualified. That's what I'm hoping for. And then the other one, Chair, was with regards to the decrease in the allocation in respect of the human development grant. And what happened is that we sliced off two amounts from the human development grant. The first amount which was sliced off was an amount of about 1.8 billion to address budget eradication. The allocation for budget eradication is actually sliced off from the human development grant. Hence that grant is going down. The second amount which was sliced off is the 900 million. The 900 million over 3 years. It's 300 million per annum, over 3 years. Yeah. And those three amounts have been sliced off from the main grant, the Human Settlement Development Grant, to address the participation of municipalities so that they can be accredited. That is why you are now seeing the Human Settlement Development Grant going down over the two years. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. Even though I'm not taking that that reason that they're putting forth, simply because municipalities are affected. I know it's not their making, it's the making of the apartheid regime. You know, most of the politicians. Yeah, I'm allowed to talk about those things. It's not their making, but the only problem is when other provinces are greatly affected. She was making that an example of the Malanga, and I did check it. And if you look at the number of packets that Malanga is having and the manner in which the grant has been reduced, those two things are not aligned. So meaning that the reason that they are using the fact, if that is what it is, it's unfair to other provinces. The other matter on the grant of the metals for the trading transportation of metals. And for the second city in the country. In Gumalang, Gumela is one of them. Such as the topic of applying. Some of them, yeah, maybe in terms of accreditation, yes, they've applied.
Malakhele Mbombela in Mpumalanga, and he is 6th grade. They are in level 1 in terms of accreditation. They are busy preparing to be accredited. But now you come and allocate this grant, you leave them out. You give them a job. How do you justify that? I just want to request that we have this meeting. If possible, provinces be part of this meeting. So that we don't keep on referring to provinces and provinces. They must be here so that when we all agree, they are here to answer some of the questions or to raise their concerns as well. Because it's unfair also to you to ask you things are done by a province. It's like I asked you a question of incomplete houses. There are a number of them. There are plenty. You don't know them.
We don't know them.
Because provinces are doing the actual implementation of those houses. But having said that, thank you very much for your time. It was not for interrogation as that is. It was more threatening for the department. You know, when you are in an environment, you get too close to people or to things or to issues. Sometimes you don't see, even when you make mistakes or there are things that you're not doing correctly. But if a person from outside with an objective mind comes, then you are able to be assisted. I want to thank you very much for this presentation and the good work that you're doing. You know, most of the time only focus on the mistakes. Do take note that if you were not working, you would not make this mistake that will raise it to you. It means that you are doing something. Those who are not working, they are not mistakes that are doing something because they are not working. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Lucia.
We got to adopt. These are two items that we could not attend in our last meeting. We got to adopt a committee's first term program. I think the program was circulated during the program. There might be some adjustments because today we're supposed to have sea water implantation, which is not. I think they're having a presentation with DNA. Also, in the afternoon, health was supposed to be part of the budget vote debate, but they're not available. Therefore, we're not going to take it. There will be those minor adjustments in our program. Can I don't think we need to discuss the program before the program. Can I have a mover for the adoption?
I move.
You move. And seconded? Seconded. Thank you very much. I'm not going to ask for objections. The last item, for 2 minutes, that we have to
adopt. Don't you know? Okay, the first minute, the minute the 26th of June, 2014. There's only two things. Is when we're electing the Amorite, electing the shepherds. Unless you say there's no shepherds, shepherds are not correct, but it was straightforward. You move.
I second you.
Move and second it. I'm told that they were fabricated. Yeah. They were technically. There was a mover and there was a seconder. But the second person, top minute, it's our last, okay. This is of the 8th of July, 2014. There we have had a briefing with Department of Health and Home Affairs. Do we have that status minute?
We don't.
We don't have. Let's see if we are able to get hold of quite a sizable number of pages. We've got to look at them because we have both departments presenting for us. Otherwise, we can leave them out and adopt them. We can adopt them in our next meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Can agree on that?
Yeah.
I want to say thank you very much. You are a very good committee, I'm very much happy with this committee. I was worried too much. Thank you very much.
Honorable members, I'm very concerned, but at least the person I'm supposed to speak to here, the honorable nothing, has missed the two meetings on both satellite commission. By the time she arrived here, I was done with a letter of complaint to the chief of the house. So I'm feeling honorable members that we are given a responsibility. If you are able to come to a meeting, for a committee meeting, we need to know who you are, what about. We can't always run around searching for you and looking for you, not knowing where you are, because you might hit us a back as and when you move forward. Thank you, Chief.
No, thank you very much. Just simply to say, if you know that you will be needing a meeting, do communicate with the Senate Affairs Chief, and communicate with the committee with, so that we don't bring this to the chief. But thank you very much, can I declare the question? Did we sign the end of the region?
Yes.
Sorry, that's not of the meeting, but there's some new food here. We wait.
Okay, the meeting says adjourned, but you can, that is a wasteful expenditure, you go to finish that.
Yeah, we
thank you. I don't know.